At the Farmhouse by E.F. Benson, narrated by Trevor O'Hare. The dusk of a November day was falling fast when John Aylesford came out of his lodging in the cobbled street and started to walk briskly along the road which led him eastwards by the shore of the bay. He had been at work while the daylight served him, and now, when the gathering darkness weaned him from his easel, he was accustomed to go out for air and exercise and cover half a dozen miles before he returned to his solitary supper. Tonight there were but few folk abroad, and though scudded along before the strong southwesterly gale, which had roared and raged all day, or, leaning forward, beat their way against it. No fishing boats had put forth on that maddened sea, but had lain moored behind the quay wall, tossing uneasily with the backwash of the great breakers that swept by the pierhead. The tide was low now, and they rested on the sandy beach, black blots against the smooth, wet surface which somberly reflected the last flames in the west. The sun had gone down in a rack of broken and flying clouds, angry and menacing with promise of a wild night to come. For many days past, at this hour, John Aylesford had started eastwards for his tramp along the rough coast road by the bay. The last high tide had swept shingle and sand over sections of it, and fragments of seaweed, driven by the wind, bowled along the ruts. The heavy boom of the breakers sounded sullenly in the dusk, and white towers of foam appearing and disappearing showed how high they leaped over the reefs of rock beyond the headland. For half a mile or so, slanting himself against the gale, he pursued this road, then turned up a narrow, muddy lane sunk deep between the banks on either side of it. It ran steeply uphill, dipped down again, and joined the main road inland. Having arrived at the junction, John Aylesford went eastwards no more, but turned his steps to the west, arriving, half an hour after he had set out, on the top of the hill above the village he had quitted. Through 5 minutes' ascent would have taken him from his lodgings to the spot where he now stood, looking down on the scattered lights below him. The wind had blown all wayfarers indoors, and now in front of him the road that crossed this high and desolate tableland, sprinkled here and there with lonely cottages and solitary farms, lay empty and grayly glimmering in the wind-swept darkness, not more than faintly visible. Many times during this past month had John Aylesford made this long detour, starting eastwards from the village and coming back by a wide circuit, and now, as on these other occasions, he paused in the black shelter of the hedge through which the wind hissed and whistled, crouching there in the shadow as if to make sure that none had followed him and that the road in front lay void of passengers, for he had no mind to be observed by any on these journeyings. And as he paused, he let his hate blaze up, warming him for the work the accomplishment of which alone could enable him to recapture any peace or profit from life. Tonight, he was determined to release himself from the millstone, which for so many years had hung round his neck, drowning him in bitter waters. From long brooding over the idea of the deed, he had quite ceased to feel any horror of it. The death of that drunken slut was not a matter for qualms or uneasiness. The world would be well rid of her, and he more than well. No spark of tenderness for the handsome fisher girl who once had been his model and for 20 years had been his wife pierced the blackness of his purpose. Just here it was that he had seen her first, when on a summer holiday he had lodged with a couple of friends in the farmhouse towards which his way now lay. She was coming up the hill, with the late sunset gilding her face, and, breathing quickly from the ascent, had leaned on the wall close by with a smile and a glance for the young man. She had sat to him, and the autumn brought the sequel to the summer in his marriage. He had bought from her uncle the little farmhouse where he had lodged, adding to its modest accommodation a studio and a bedroom above it, and there he had seen the flicker of what had never been love die out, and over the cold ashes of its embers the poisonous lichen of hatred spread fast. Early in their married life, she had taken to drink, and had sunk into a degradation of soul and body that seemed bottomless, dragging him with her, down and down, in the grip of a force that was hardly human in its malignity. Often, during the wretched years that followed, he had tried to leave her. He had offered to settle the farm on her, and make adequate provision for her, but she had clung to the possession of him, not, it would seem, from any affection for him, but for a reason exactly opposite. Namely, that her hatred of him fed and glutted itself on the sight of his ruin. It was as if, in obedience